Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, good morning, church. It is a privilege to be here with you today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at Calvary. Specifically, I'm the children's pastor. So before we get into today's message, I just want to say a thank you. Thank you to all of you who have partnered with us with regards to our week-long day camp that is coming up in one short week away, also known as VBS, whether you financially gave to help sponsor kids who could not have come otherwise, or if you've given up your time and you're going to be volunteering with us, thank you. For everyone else, please be in prayer for us. It's an amazing week where for 5 days in a row, we get to minister to kids and to their families in ways that are powerful and long-lasting, honestly. Today, we are in episode 3 of our At the Movies message series. This is one of my favorite message series that we do at Calvary, and it's not because of the movies that we choose or the clips that we sometimes show or the free popcorn that is served in the lobby, because it's not free or served in the lobby. There is a fun factor to doing this message series that makes it a little bit special, but I appreciate it because it puts on display an invaluable tool that we should all be using. You know, it's already been shared that Jesus used stories to teach. He spoke through parables. He also referenced things that were already in the minds of people or already on their lips to point them to the truth. When Jesus spoke, he used examples of agriculture, weddings, fishing, royalty, banquets. These were the things that were popular in culture. Now, today, pop culture looks very different. Like it or hate it, though, one of the most influential mediums in our society is movie going. Or in 2026, maybe it's movie streaming. But either way, I mean, if you just think about how many conversations you've had with a friend or a coworker or whatever that has started with, hey, have you watched fill in the blank movie title? It's all the time. The subtitle of this series is Finding Faith in Film, and it's not a hard thing to do if you're looking for it. By the end of this month's series, you're going to have seen 4 examples of how you can take something that your friends are already talking about, like a movie, and how you can turn that conversation towards Jesus. We've seen it in the last 2 Sundays as Pastor Vince used the movie WALL-E, Pastor Wyatt talked about the Dune series. And you know what? When people ask you if you've seen a certain movie, they're expecting you to give your 2 cents about that movie. So it's more than reasonable that as a Christian, you would find talking points in those conversations that open the door to sharing your faith. That's what I love about this series. Today, we're stepping into one of the most iconic film franchises ever created, Jurassic Park. And I'm hoping by the end of this message, you will know that all dinosaurs go to heaven. Not really. That is not the point of what I'm sharing today. But listen, if God can use a talking donkey or a burning bush, if God can use ravens as skip the dishes, or a giant fish with a taste for profits, all real stories in the Bible, he can certainly use a T-Rex to help us understand the gospel. Now, personally, I was actually just excited about this anyway, because I love dinosaurs. If you've ever wondered why our kids department has 2 mascots, Big Tim and Violet, and they're both dinosaurs, it's because of me. Maybe you've seen my Jeep in the parking lot with Jurassic Park magnets on the side, or the brake lights on my Jeep that are shaped like T-Rexes. Or if you've ever interacted with me on social media in any form, almost always my username is Jurassic Mark. And the biggest giveaway of all, of course, as some of you know, are that some of my kids are named after dinosaurs. And I know some of you know this already, so we're going to just play a game. I'm going to quickly say my kid's dinosaur, and you can mentally think, which dinosaur is that child named after? My oldest son's name is Tyron. Tyrannosaurus Rex. His brother's name is Trice. Triceratops. Nailed it. Their sister's name is Leyland. much lesser known dinosaur, but even if you just threw an Asaurus on the end, you'd be pretty close. It's Lael and Asura. And then there's Levi. Levi is named after Leviathan, the dinosaur-like creature that is mentioned in the book of Job in the Bible. Now, truthfully, Levi's name might be just coincidental, but I'm making him a part of the club. He's in now. So let's get into this. This might surprise you, but the Jurassic Park films are not merely about dinosaurs. They're really not. They're about humanity. They're about unreasonable levels of arrogance, brokenness, and, of course, chaos. They're also about the consequences of trying to control forces that are greater than ourselves. They're about what happens when we decide to play God and what happens when our creation refuses to obey. One of the most famous lines from the first film comes from Dr. Ian Malcolm, which is played by Jeff Goldblum, and he responds to this breakthrough in science that's brought dinosaurs back from extinction, and he says this: "Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should." And that line is more, I think, than a caution about science. It's a mirror held up to the human heart. We're constantly pushing boundaries. We chase our own kingdoms. We try to rule life on our own terms. Now, Jurassic Park might be fiction, but it's exposing a truth that Scripture's been telling us for thousands of years, which is that humanity is lost without God. Today, instead of using just Jurassic Park, a now 33-year-old movie, in case you weren't already feeling old, and instead we're going to journey through the whole franchise using the movie titles to discuss the gospel story. Let's start with The Lost World. In The Lost World, which is the second movie in the whole franchise, the characters have entered this place where the rules of civilization has gone out the window. Chaos reigns supreme, and really the only goal is survival. And there's this moment again when Ian Malcolm, same character, looks around and he says, "It's like taking a stroll through the woods 65 million years ago." And what he's describing a world untouched by order, a world where humanity doesn't even belong, which spiritually is exactly us without Christ. Without Jesus, we're wandering through a world we were never meant to navigate alone. We're trying to survive in a place where our instincts betray us, our desires mislead us, and our pride blinds us. There's a very familiar verse, Isaiah 53:6, that says this: "All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." The Bible doesn't say we've been misguided. It says we've strayed. We've strayed. Without Christ, we're without direction. We're without map or compass or even a path. We have left the path. In the New Testament, Ephesians 2:12, it says, "In those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." So we're not a little off course. We're lost and we're without hope, separated from God and unable to find our way back. That's us before we meet Jesus. And like the characters in The Lost World, we don't often realize how lost we are until, you know, there's a snapping twig in the woods, the dark woods beside us, or a terrifying roar off in the distance. But in A Lost World, dinosaurs aren't the real danger. The real danger is the illusion of thinking we can survive alone. Again, spiritually, we live in a world where sin has fractured everything. It's fractured identity, relationships, purpose, peace. And just like Ian Malcolm's team in The Lost World, we often think we can handle it. We think we can handle it all the way until we realize we're not handling it. Spiritually, we build our own parks, our own illusions, believing we can control our lives. We can control our sin even, or our future. But eventually the fences fail. The power goes out and The illusions crumble. We are not in control. We're lost. So you have to ask, where in your life are you pretending you're not lost? Where are you saying, I got this. I don't need help. I know the way. When deep down, you know you are wandering. Maybe it's a hidden sin or a broken relationship, a buried shame, or a fear you just never talk about. Maybe it's all of the above. If you're here, if you're listening to this message and you do not consider yourself to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, then I'm talking to you. I'm not trying to point anyone out, but if you're being honest with yourself, you already know you're lost. If you put any thought into it at all, you know there's more than the life you're leading. And really, that's it right there, right? It's the life you're leading, not God. Another quote from my favorite character, Ian Malcolm. This time it's from The Lost World, the book. For some reason, the line didn't make it into the movie. Malcolm says this, human beings never think for themselves. They find it too uncomfortable. The gospel begins with honesty and a little uncomfortability. So do think for yourself and acknowledge, I'm lost. Because the good news is Jesus specializes in finding lost people. Luke 19:10 says it best. Simple, short verse. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He doesn't wait for us to find him. He comes into our lost world and finds us. It's amazing. Let's move along to the next movie title. We started with Jurassic Park, then The Lost World. We're going to skip past Jurassic Park 3, which is also fine to do if you're about to leave today and go and binge all these movies. You can skip it. I mean, it has dinosaurs, so if you're like me, that's enough. But as a movie, not great. It didn't even stay creative in the titling. Got Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Jurassic Park 3. They're not even trying at this point. But it is the movie that concluded the original Jurassic Park trilogy, so we'll let it have that little claim to fame. We're going to fast forward instead to the 2015 movie Jurassic World. So it's kind of like Disney, right? There was Disneyland, then Disney World. There was Jurassic Park. Now there's Jurassic World. In the storyline, it's 22 years after the original park failed, and now a fully operational dinosaur theme park named Jurassic World is open, operational, and successful. And at Jurassic World, to boost the slightly declining attendance at the theme park, scientists create a genetically modified hybrid dinosaur called the Indominus Rex. And not to give any spoilers, but things go wrong and people get eaten, just like every other Jurassic movie. In the franchise, in the series of movies, it's also 22 real-life years after the original movie that Jurassic World comes out. And to boost movie attendance, they cast Chris Pratt as the new lead. Good move, good movie, great new start to a Jurassic movie, a new Jurassic movie era. And I call them eras because Jurassic Park was a trilogy, had three in the 90s, and Jurassic World has had four movies so far, and I'm sure there's going to be more. Another one might come out before I'm done speaking today. If the second Jurassic Park movie, which was The Lost World, shows us humanity wandering without direction, the second Jurassic World movie shows us something even more sobering. And that's what happens when humanity tries to build a kingdom without God and watches it collapse. The movie's called Fallen Kingdom. In Fallen Kingdom, everything that the humans tried to create falls apart. The park is destroyed, the systems fail, the creatures that were resurrected, refused to obey. Even the island itself is kind of a symbol of judgment on them, right? Fire and destruction and smoke and chaos. The Bible tells us that actually humanity was created to rule, not as tyrants, but as stewards under God's authority. In fact, Genesis 1 gives us dominion over the earth, but by Genesis 3, we see what happens when we try to seize dominion apart from God. We're not going to read the Adam and Eve story today, but Adam and Eve didn't just eat fruit. They basically attempted a coup. They tried to build a kingdom without the king. And the result, of course, was catastrophic. Sin entered the world, and so far, sin's impact hasn't let up, and it's 2026. Romans 5:12 confirms this, saying, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned." This is the spiritual condition of all of us. We build our own kingdoms with fences through careers, through identities, relationships, self-made morality, self-defined and ever-changing truth. But eventually, like Jurassic Park, like Jurassic World, these fences fail as well. And the consequences are like raptors on the loose, and the kingdom falls, not because God abandoned us, but because we abandoned God. The fallen kingdom within the human heart is sin. And sin isn't just something we do. Sin is something that rules us. It corrupts our desires and enslaves our hearts. It destroys what God intended for us to steward. And this is why self-help rarely works. This is why trying harder does very little. Why being a good person does nothing for your eternal redemption. Because you cannot repair a kingdom that has already collapsed. You need a new king. You need a rescue from the chaos. The fallen kingdom is a spiritual reality. Scripture kind of describes it as this. The fallen kingdom is darkness. It's slavery. It's blindness. Death. And this is not meant to be poetic language. This looks a lot more like a diagnosis. So where in your life are you seeing relationships strained or peace disappearing? Where are you seeing your joy fading? Where's the illusion of control collapsing? And where's the kingdom of self, the kingdom of you, falling? Our fallen kingdom is real, but here's the good news. It's not final. The movie series doesn't end with a fallen kingdom, and the gospel doesn't end with a fallen kingdom. The gospel moves toward restoration, which brings us to the next part and the next title of our Jurassic movies, Dominion. The movie Jurassic World Dominion raises the question that's in the title: who has dominion? Who actually rules? Who has authority? In the movie Dominion, governments are scrambling, corporations are manipulating each other, dinosaurs are fighting for territory. And once again, surprise, surprise, every attempt at controlling it fails. So who does truly have dominion? Well, thankfully, Scripture answers this, and it answers it with clarity, with power, with finality. It's Jesus Christ. Dominion's not up for debate. Dominion is not shared. It's not fragile. It's not temporary. Dominion belongs to Christ alone. The Bible never presents Jesus as just a helpful teacher or a spiritual consultant. Excuse me. The Bible presents Jesus as king. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus says this himself. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Colossians 1:13 ties it together like this: "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." How's that for rescue? How's that for a black and white declaration of who has dominion? He restores what was lost. He rebuilds what was broken. He reestablishes what humanity has forfeited. And he invites us into his kingdom. In the movie Dominion, characters Owen and Claire and others are constantly trying to control creatures that refuse to be controlled. They chase, they trap, they train. In some cases, they negotiate, They improvise, but the creatures, the dinosaurs, always end up reminding them who really holds the power. Humanity's attempts at dominion fail because humanity was never the rightful ruler. And spiritually, we do the same thing. We try to control everything, our sin, our addictions, our fears. We try to control our relationships, but we simply can't control what only Christ can conquer. Imagine for a second being in one of these movies. You're stranded on a cliff. You can't climb up anymore. You're at the end. You can't climb down. It's a sheer cliff. You're stuck on the edge, and there's a herd of raptors inching towards you. Then a rescue helicopter appears with a rope dangling right beside you. You don't negotiate. You don't bargain. You don't say, let me first try to fight these dinosaurs. I know jiu-jitsu. No. You grab the rope and let the rescuer pull you to safety. That's salvation. Christ rescues us from the dominion of darkness, and again, he brings us into his kingdom. We don't crawl our way out. We don't earn our way out. We definitely don't negotiate our way out. We are rescued. And as believers, as people fully devoted to following Jesus, we now live under his rule, his peace, his authority and purpose. The lost world is not our home. The fallen kingdom is not our identity. We belong to the dominion of Jesus. This means Christ defines our identity, our purpose, our desires, governs our decisions, breaks our chains, silences our shame, defeats our enemies. Dominion is not about mastering life. It's about submitting to the one who already has. Who has dominion in your life? Have you given it over to fear or anxiety or bitterness or pride? Maybe the opinions of others has rule over your life, or your past does, your wounds. Or is it Jesus? Someone is ruling your heart. Someone is shaping your decisions and directing your steps. Someone is influencing your identity. The question isn't, do you have a ruler? The question is, which ruler do you have? Dominion belongs to Jesus. But he's not forcing you. He's inviting you to surrender. He's inviting you to trust, to follow, and to be free. Let's go to our last movie that we're featuring in this message, the most recent Jurassic World movie, which came out about a year ago, and it's called Rebirth. Just for a second, though, let's recap the titles of the movies. The Lost World, we talked about our wandering. Fallen Kingdom shows our collapse. Dominion shows Christ's victory. And now Rebirth, we're going to talk about what happens when Christ's dominion becomes our new life. Who says you can't learn from dinosaurs? This is where the gospel becomes personal. This is where salvation becomes transformation. This is where the old dies and the new rises, where baptism, like we're celebrating this weekend, becomes a declaration. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." This, of course, is not a physical rebirth, but it is a start over as a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, again, a very familiar verse. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here." We are a new creation. We are recreated through Christ. In the original Jurassic Park, John Hammond, the eccentric billionaire funding all of the Jurassic theme parks, famously says, "Creation is an act of sheer will." But the gospel says something that I think is way more beautiful when we think about being born again. The gospel tells us recreation is an act of sheer grace. In Jurassic Park, humanity resurrects dinosaurs through science, ambition, control, and the results were catastrophic. But God resurrects human hearts through mercy and love and sacrifice, and the results are miraculous. Jurassic Park shows us what happens when humanity tries to create life. The gospel shows us what happens when God recreates your life. One leads to chaos, the other leads to redemption. Rebirth is a transfer of kingdom. It's not just forgiveness, it's relocation from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom, from death to life, from shame to dignity, from wandering to belonging, from the fallen kingdom to the kingdom of Christ. This weekend we are having a baptism. As I mentioned, baptism is a public declaration of everything that we've talked about today. In baptism, we go under the water, we declare, my old life is buried. When we rise from the water, we declare, I am reborn into Christ's dominion. Baptism is not just a part of joining a church. It's not completing a ritual or checking a box. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is the cinematic plot twist of a Christian life. This is the moment the old world ends and the new world begins. Death to the old, rising to the new, declaring allegiance to Jesus, stepping into the kingdom of God and proclaiming that Christ has taken dominion in your life and saying it publicly. Before we close today, I'm just going to bluntly ask, have you been born again? I'm not asking if you attend church regularly or if you're a good person and trying to follow the rules, or I'm not even asking, do you believe in God? But have you surrendered your lostness, your fallen kingdom, your self-rule to Jesus' dominion? Have you allowed Christ to rescue you, to redeem you, recreate you, rebirth you? And if you have you declared it through baptism? Let's just close with this. Let's let these Jurassic movie titles, in case they ever come up in conversation again, forever be a reminder of what we talked about today. Lost world, we wandered away. Fallen kingdom, sin dethroned us. Dominion, Christ restores what was broken. Rebirth, we rise into a new life. This is the story of salvation. This is the story of every believer. And if it's not your story, it can be. If you're feeling lost, Christ is seeking you. If you're living in a fallen kingdom, Christ can rescue you. If you're longing for dominion, Christ reigns. And if you're ready for rebirth, declare all of those things and follow Jesus today. Because the King who holds dominion is calling you into a new life.